Hello, welcome to the session today on testing our cross-platform mobile apps with Xamarin and the Xamarin UI test framework and the Xamarin test recorder.
Awesome, well I'm excited to be here today.
Very excited, we have a lot to talk about how to make sure that we are shipping our best apps to our customers. So let me introduce ourselves. I am Rob Gibbons, I am a trainer manager for Xamarin University, and that means that it's my job to help our incredible instructor staff to deliver the best content we possibly can to our students who are on their way to learning how to be Xamarin developers.
Sweet. And my name is Mark Smith. I'm the director for Xamarin University, so I'm responsible for the overall experience for both the curriculum developers as well as the trainers who are delivering that curriculum.
Fantastic. So Xamarin University, for those who might not know, is the premier location to learn Xamarin development. Xamarin is a cross-platform mobile toolset. In Xamarin University, we have live classes, we have one-on-one time with expert instructors, we have a fantastic community around Xamarin University of students and fans of Xamarin University, and then lastly, we have the ability for our students to get certified as Xamarin mobile developers.
Awesome. Yeah, so certification lets you then take a set of courses and do some homework and interact with a couple of instructors, and then finally take an exam to prove that you know what you're talking about so that you can go to your employer, you can go to your friends, you can impress your family with your mobile certification.
It's a great kind of feather in the cap on the resume.
Absolutely.
A great thing to show as you're going looking for jobs or just maybe more interesting applications and projects at work. So one thing we want to mention is during this session, there is a staff of expert instructors and trainers who are staffing the Q&A. So if you have any questions, please make sure that you enter the questions there and we'll make sure to get you answers.
And in addition, if you have questions, you can also go to our forums or you can go to Stack Overflow. If you're a Xamarin University subscriber, you have access to instructors that you can ask questions even about your app so they can talk to you about your app's architecture, implementing features, that sort of thing. So lots of places where you can get your questions answered.
Yes. So Microsoft provides the complete mobile solution for delivering our mobile apps to our customers and getting it into their hands. And there's more to delivering an app than simply just slinging some code in the IDE and compiling it.
Really?
I hope everybody knows that. So there's more to it. We want continuous integration. We want to make sure we can do beta testing correctly. We want to make sure we can do analytics, because after you're actually done with the app, you're not done with the app. You need to make sure that you understand how people are using it. And
you're not done.
If you're getting crashes or even to see what kind of features people are using in the app. Maybe you've created a feature that you didn't think was all that important and people are using a lot more than you thought.
Yeah.
Monitoring analytics are the way you're going to find that out. But what we're going to talk about here today is testing. Hmm. And I'm a big fan of testing. Mark, how about you?
Yeah, I think it's a critical part of the development process. If you don't test your app, you're going to leave it to your users to test it, and that never goes well.
No, and it's definitely something that I think as developers, we probably don't do nearly as much as we really should.
Yeah.
And today, I hope to convince everybody why we need to be testing.
Yeah, and so what kind of testing are we actually talking about? Because I'm familiar with unit testing, for example, where I write sets of unit tests and, you know, don't do as many as I should, but I at least try to get a reasonable coverage of my code.
Yeah, so unit testing is one of the most popular ways of testing. You know, we hear a lot about unit testing, and it is definitely extremely important. It is one of the very first things we need to do when we're testing our code. Mm-hmm. There's also what we're going to be talking about here today is UI testing, which is more of an end-to-end type testing. So we're going to get into that as we talk about automated UI testing.
Great.
So as a tester, you know, I've worked in lots of big companies, and we've had lots of different kinds of applications, both web and desktop and mobile. And as I said, we never really test things as much as we should. So I know you've worked a lot of places. How do you usually end up testing an app?
Well, I think there's a couple different ways. I've worked in companies where the testing was solely on the developer, where you ended up writing your unit tests and kind of going through the mechanics of your app. I've also worked in places where they actually have a testing team. And the testing team had big notebooks full of tests that they would open up and they'd pull up the app and they'd start with step one and go through step one and they'd just go page by page, and just do it mechanically and manually. But, you know, invariably what happens is they skip a test or they miss one or maybe even the test is wrong now because the app has changed and so kind of gets out of sync.
Absolutely. And I also worked in those places anywhere on the spectrum from we're going to just ship it and hope everything works. Hope is not a strategy.
Yeah, hope is not a strategy.
Having a binder full of these tests that were written in Word, which are better than nothing, but like you said, they're almost immediately out of date as soon as you write them.
Yeah, that's right.
And they're very hard to maintain. They're very hard to execute. They're very hard to keep up to date as features change. So what we really need to do then is we need to focus on automated testing. Mm. Automated testing takes those kind of manual test cases that we might have written down before, and he uses the computer to do that. Computers are really great at doing the same thing over and over and over and over, something that humans
aren't so good at.
And
we don't like to do repetitive tasks.
And things that we have better uses of our time.
Yeah.
If we have a QA team, they are better used if they are actually exploratory testing. They're trying to find all the little cracks and nooks in the application. We don't want to spend their time doing the rote manual testing by reading through Word documents.
Yeah.
So we're going to look at how we can automate that testing. And unit testing is a big part of that. But UI testing has its place as well. So here we have an example, a pyramid of the different kinds of tests that we can do. And down at the bottom, we see we have unit tests. And that's what Mark was just talking about. Mm-hmm. Unit tests are going to form the foundation of our quality in our application.
And these are typically written by developers.
So yes, these
are
absolutely.
People writing the code that know the code well, sometimes by a different developer perhaps, but
right.
definitely by the development team.
Yes, and unit tests, you should have dozens of them, hundreds of them, thousands of them, and they should run very, very fast. And they are able to execute all those little bits of code that are really hard to execute. They're the exception cases, mm-hmm. things like that. So unit tests are going to be the foundation. But as we move up this pyramid, you can see the cost and the effort is going to get higher, because there becomes more manual work as you go up this pyramid.
Mm.
And then the number of tests are going to go down, again, because they're more expensive. But right at the top of the pyramid, that's where we have UI tests. They provide incredible value because they are going to be running your application in the same way that a user would run it. It's going to execute the user interface. It's going to enter text in text boxes. It's going to click on buttons. It's going to perform gestures, everything that a user would do. And it's going to then execute all the way down through your business layers, through your database access, through your web service access, and it's going to test your entire app end-to-end.
So ultimately, it's the same sorts of tests that I saw those testers running from the binders. You're testing it from the application's perspective, and therefore it's sort of an end-to-end test of application functionality, what the user sees.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because the user generally doesn't care if our unit tests pass.
Right.
They don't care
what database you used.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They care that the app is doing what it should do and it's not crashing.
Right.
And that's what these manual tests or these UI tests are going to accomplish.
Right.
Now, as we get into mobile, we encounter some issues that we might not experience in desktop or server or web programming. Some things that are unique to mobile development. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest ones, one of the ones you're going to encounter the most often, is network connectivity. You know, our mobile apps are, by definition, they're mobile. We take them with us all over the place, and our network connection is going to drop out at unexpected times. I know I walked into my kid's school, it must be made out of lead, and I immediately lose a network connection 2 feet into the door.
Well, I'm on a carrier that I can actually just walk outside and I lose connection, so.
So as developers, that's something that we need to keep in mind. That's something that we need to plan for. We can't just hope that we're always going to have a network connection. And that means, number one, checking to see if you have a network connection before you make a server call. But it could be also, what happens if that network connection drops out in the middle of your server call while you're downloading something? Have you thought about that? Have
yeah.
you tested that? We need to take that into consideration for mobile development. Fragmentation is also another big problem. So Android has thousands, 7,000, 8,000 different devices that you could possibly support.
It's crazy, isn't it? Yeah, there's, not only that, but they're not only are they different devices, they're different variations from different OEM manufacturers that have actually replaced bits of Android.
Exactly. The vendors for Android have the right to change some of the APIs. So you could be calling an Android API and have it work on 95% of your devices, and one of them could fail.
Yeah.
You need to plan for that, because as developers, we have a limited number of devices at our disposal. I mean, I know I have quite a few, but I don't have 7,000 devices. It might be nice, but I don't want 7,000 devices.
Right.
We need to test for those, because we need to make sure that the app is going to work for our customers, not just for us.
Right. Not just on our devices, but on our customers' devices.
Exactly. And yep. then iOS is getting more and more fragmented as well. We have iPhones, big iPhone, the plus size. We have iPad minis. retina screens. Exactly. Yeah. They have more and more things coming out all the time.
And then if you even expand it out past that, you got TVOS. I mean, if you're really talking about shared code, right, and shared experience, I mean, sometimes you may even have to test on even other types of form factors.
Exactly. And then you get to UWP and the millions and billions of Windows desktops that are available with all the different screen sizes and different processors and all that kind of stuff. So there's
lots of big problem.
There is, and that's where testing and testing on the devices comes in, where unit tests aren't going to capture those types of problems. Hmm. Now, one of the other big problems in mobile is the App Store. The App Store allows...
I've never heard somebody say that's a problem in mobile.
It could be.
It's supposed to be the draw to building a mobile
app,
right?
App Stores are great. That's where your customers are going to find you, but it's also where the customers can leave reviews, and they can give you bad reviews if you are shipping applications that don't meet their standards.
Yeah.
You know, in desktop application, we're generally writing desktop apps for maybe our enterprise. Mm-hmm. Our users don't have much other choice. For server and web-based applications, we have the luxury of quickly deploying a hotfix to the server and having it work for everybody.
Right.
With mobile, if we ship an application, it can go out to thousands or millions of users, and they might not update that application. They might come to the App Store and they might give you a bad review. Or, even worse, they might just simply abandon your app. Mm. Any app that's in the App Store probably has lots of competition. Many different apps that do the same thing. Our users have the luxury and they have the freedom to go find another application, and they will do it quickly.
Yeah.
They will abandon your app very quickly. They will never come back to check you out again. Even if you fix that app and you fix whatever exception is happening in a week or two, you've lost a significant portion of your customer base, and you're not going to get them back.
And unfortunately, you know, Apple and Android and Microsoft all make it really easy to uninstall apps.
Exactly, and so, and leave reviews. And,
yeah, that's
so,
right.
So we need to plan for that. That's something that's mobile specific that you might not be used to as a developer as well. And it's another reason we need to do this kind of testing. So what is a UI test? Well, we've talked a little bit about UI testing. UI testing is going to run the application just like your user would. It's going to launch the application on a device or a simulator, and it's going to click through, and it's going to do those types of manual tests, but in an automated way to make it
reproducible.
Faster. Reproducible.
Yeah, that's
exactly
important.
It's going to be reproducible, and it's going to be able to run on every build of your code to verify before you ship it out that you're not introducing bugs or you're not introducing regressions as well. Something you thought was fixed comes back. You want to make sure that doesn't happen.
And I can run the same test on all those different devices. I mean, that's important too, right? When we do manual testing, you know, I'm kind of limited because I'm going to be working with one device at a time. If we automate this and we use a system that's automated, such as the Xamarin Test Cloud, I can actually push it out to a bunch of devices simultaneously.
Correct.
And run it in parallel.
And we don't need to own all those devices if we're using
nice.
Test Cloud. We'll talk about Test Cloud towards the end of this session as well. And that's where Xamarin UI Test comes in. Xamarin UI Test is a framework. It's a set of APIs provided by Xamarin, which is completely free, and it allows us to script and to automate this interaction with our applications. It can run on simulators or devices, whichever one. Like you just said, we can upload these tests up to Xamarin Test Cloud. We can run on thousands of devices, and it's going to give us the ability to ensure that these apps are working how we expect them to. And it's going to run on iOS or Android, and we can test either one of those.
Excellent.
So you see here, we have a little sample of some code. So this is just C# code. It's really natural. We pass in some randoms. We're looking for this to-do app, this Tasky Pro application. We're going to look for something that has the word add in it somewhere. We don't necessarily need to know where it is. And that's going to be that plus button up at the top. We'll enter a little bit of text, and it's going to be get milk. And then we're going to come back, and we're going to click the save button. That will actually perform those actions on the device.
Hmm.
So
that's pretty
amazing. Instead of having a QA person do those steps, we can just run this over and over, and we can run it on all those devices.
Right. Instead of writing those steps in a document, you're writing those steps in code, right?
Right. So, and verifying and validating
that's
that
right.
in the future, they stay relevant.
And if those steps change, we change the code, and that's
exactly.
really cool.
So how do we run these? Well, they are just code, they're just C#, and they are tests. They're going to be using a test runner, or a testing framework. Xamarin UI Test itself is not a testing test runner. It's just a set of APIs to interact with the device. So we're going to use one of our favorite test runners here.
What's your favorite?
I like them all, actually. So
equal opportunity.
I do. When I'm writing unit tests, I generally use XUnit.
Okay.
When I'm writing UI tests, I use NUnit. And there's actually a reason for that is when you're in Visual Studio 2017 and you're running your test locally on your device or on your simulator, you can use any of these. You can use NUnit, you can use XUnit, you could use MS Test, which is recently just open source and rewritten,
yeah,
which is
free.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Completely free. You could use Fixie. There's lots of great testing frameworks out there. When you're on Visual Studio for Mac, or if you upload to Test Cloud, you're going to need to use NUnit. That's what those two support out of the box. So we're going to use NUnit here today as we go through our demos.
Okay, but the point is if I'm just doing local testing and I'm not concerned with uploading to Test Cloud, I can use any test harness I like.
Exactly.
If I've got a favorite or if I've even written my own, I just need to be able to execute the methods.
That's exactly. Yep.
Okay.
And it's just a test run. You can run it in the IDE. You can run it on the command line.
I potentially could use even a console app or whatever I want, right?
Exactly.
It's just
workbooks. Xamarin UI Test is just a set of APIs.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's exactly right. All right, so let's do a quick demonstration here of actually running some UI tests. So I already have one loaded up here in Visual Studio. And if we take a look at the Solution Explorer, this is just a Xamarin Forms application. It could be Xamarin iOS, it could be Xamarin Android, it could actually even be, not in Visual Studio, but this could be an Objective-C or a Swift or a Java app. Mm-hmm. Xamarin UI Test will test all of those. We're going to focus on Xamarin Forms here. So we have our portable class library, we have our Android and iOS, and then we have another project called UI Tests. In the UI Tests project, we've added a NuGet package. The NuGet package is the Xamarin.UITest NuGet package. You go get it on NuGet, install it into your testing project. We also have NUnit installed here from mm-hmm. NuGet, and you're good to go. You can start writing these tests.
So this is what you meant by being able to use whatever test harness you want. As long as you add that package, you have access to the APIs, and you just write methods to be able to run those APIs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So let's take a look at the code here. And in this code, we're using some of the Xamarin UI test and the NUnit APIs and the attributes. So we're going to start with a test fixture up here. Notice we have two of them, which is really great. So we're able to run this exact same test on both iOS and Android. And if you have something like a Xamarin Forms application that your UI is very, very similar across multiple platforms, it's possible you could write the test once and run it on both of those platforms on all the different devices.
Yeah, that's excellent. And to be clear, that's actually an NUnit feature. That has nothing to do with Xamarin UI Test.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But we enable this out of the box, and when you create a new UI test from the template, you're going to get this code exactly how it is. And then we have our setup where we're going to do a little bit of initialization that's going to tell us where to get the actual binary and install it on the device.
And just to point out, the constructor there for your test class, that's how you would get a platform from those two attributes.
Exactly.
Right? So that's which it platform it's testing for.
Yes. Yeah. And then our app initializer, it can make a determination, are we on iOS or Android? And where do I go get that
binary?
So
if you have to distinguish between the two as part of the test run, you can.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So being able to run the same test on multiple platforms is going to require a lot of architecture and forethought to be able to do that, but it's absolutely possible. And then down here, I have a test that I wrote. In this test, you can see it's going to go look for Adrian Stevens. So I'm going to show you this in just a minute here. But we have a list of Xamarin University team members. I'm going to click on Adrian, and then I'm going to click back. I'm going to make sure that I have a team list, and I can scroll down. I'm going to click on Mark, and then I'm going to click on Rob, and I'm going to click back. This is all automated. Now, the way we run this is in Visual Studio, there is an extension for a Xamarin UI test to be able to run this. And actually, it's the NUnit extension is how we're going
to
run this.
To run NUnit.
Right. To run any, these are just, and they're not unit tests, but it's using the NUnit test runner. So let me go ahead and do a build. And in Visual Studio, we can just go to the test menu, and we can come down to Windows and just look at the Test Explorer. And this is going to show us all of our unit tests and UI tests.
So let me make sure I understand. So we're using NUnit to be able to execute these tests, and so we're writing it with test fixtures and test methods and things like that. But the code we put into those test methods are UI tests. So traditionally, when I write them, I would write unit tests that would be executing bits of my code. But in this case, I'm going to use the API exposed by the Xamarin UI test to be able to drive my app through its different phases that I want to try.
Exactly.
So even though it looks like a unit test, it's not. It's a UI test. We just happen to be using the attributes in the runner to be able to accomplish our purpose.
That's right. So again, if we look down at the API, we have this app class. This app class is the starting point of the API. This represents the application and things that you can do with it. So we have a couple of different methods we're invoking here. We're going to tap That means tap on a button. And that works cross-platform. So on iOS or Android, it's going to be a click event on Android. It's going to be a touch-up inside on iOS. UI test knows how to do both of those.
Wow, that's really cool. And so do you happen to know, like, the mechanics of how it's actually doing? I mean, does it really look like a user's tapping on it? Or?
Yes, it does. And we're going to see that as we're walking through this. So just waiting for this to build. So we have got this to build. I believe it built here. So let's see if I can run this should scroll team list. And I'm going to run that just like I would run any other test. And come back, and I'm going to run this on Android. So one of the things about UI test and the UI test framework is on Windows, we support Android. On the Mac, we support iOS and Android. We're going to scroll.
It's doing it.
We're going to scroll down a little bit, click on Mark. There's Mark. We'll click the back button, and then click Rob, and then click the back button again. Completely automated. In just a few lines of code, we are able to mimic a user using our application.
That's cool. And that's some good-looking people there, too. So.
And some of the best trainers and curriculum people you'll ever meet. So that's a quick sample of what a test looks like. Okay. And, of course, we get full IntelliSense. So here we can see, let me get back out of that. Here we can see we have things like press volume up, press enter. We can pinch to zoom. We have gesture support.
That's neat.
Scrolling support. All kinds of stuff.
So all the sorts of things that users would typically do with our app are just exposed to this app class, and you just write code to programmatically drive the UI just like a user would.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we could write all that by ourselves, and that would work just fine. But there's another way we can actually write our tests, and that's using the Xamarin Test Recorder.
This sounds interesting.
This is fantastic. So the Xamarin Test Recorder is a way that we can actually just interact with our application in a really natural way. We can hold the device in our hand and start tapping it just like a user would. And the test recorder will actually write the code for us. It's going to write that UI test and use the UI test APIs and write the code. So in Visual Studio, there is an extension. And you can see here we can just record a new test right in our test project. And this is really cool. I'm going to show you a demo of this. It's going to just insert our test code right in Visual Studio.
That's really cool.
And record it.
And so who would typically do this? Would this be developers?
It could be both. It could be developers because they're working in Visual Studio, but this absolutely could be the QA team because it's a really natural way to record your interactions. You can take that big binder of tests and you can have the QA team run through them once, record the actual APIs mm-hmm. and the API calls, and then automate that from now on.
Wow, that's fantastic.
So take a few days, convert all those manual tests to automated tests, and be on your way to getting a much better quality application and a lot cheaper as well.
Yeah, and it seems to me, just looking at this, I mean, I know a lot of build servers and CI servers support unit tests, and so in theory, could they run these UI tests as well?
Absolutely, they're just end unit tests, and we could definitely run those there. You could even have the continuous integration server upload your tests to Test Cloud for you and run them, again, on thousands of devices.
Wow.
Which is a great way to do that. So when you're done recording your test, right here, again, in the IDE, we can stop the recording. We can tell it to take a screenshot. Screenshots are very valuable when you're doing this kind of automated UI testing because if something fails, you want to know why. And the reason why is usually because something on the UI didn't appear correct. That could be maybe you're working on a small device and the button you're trying to click is now below the screen. You have to scroll. You didn't know that because you first did your test on a big iPad or for something. So taking screenshots really help you track down what is wrong, and they're very valuable. So you can download the test recorder in two different ways. You can either go to our website, xamarin.com/test-cloud/recorder, and you can download either the Visual Studio add-in, or there's also a separate application for working on the Mac.
Okay.
And you can download it either way. The other way to get this is right in Visual Studio, just go to the extension gallery. So it's under the tools, extensions and updates, and search for Xamarin Test Recorder.
And I think on Visual Studio 2017, it's like the very first thing in our tools.
It
now.
Is.
It's not, yep. You know, it used to be further down, but
yeah, because extensions are so powerful in Visual Studio, we want people to use them more often. And one thing I want to point out is for Visual Studio on Windows, Test Recorder does require Visual Studio Enterprise Edition. On the Mac, Test Recorder is free, and you can test both iOS and Android. Like I said, on Windows right now, you can only test Android, and Mac supports both of them.
Okay.
So here's an example of the test recorder on the Mac. Like I said, it's a separate application, But it works exactly the same. You interact with the app on the device, click around, and it's going to record what you've done as well. And then you can copy that, and you can put it right into your code.
Great.
All right, so let me show you.
Let's check it out.
Yeah, let's do an actual test here. So the last time we already had a test written, and that's cool, but how often does that really happen? Really what we
well,
want.
If I have a QA team, maybe all the time. I don't know.
Maybe, yes. So again, we're going to go up here, and we're going to use Visual Studio. And I'm going to be testing on Android. So in Visual Studio, it's going to add these little icons in the sidebar. So they're the little black and red icons. And when I click on one of those, we can see here, we can record a new test, and because I've selected Android, it's going to ask me to select the APK file. So this is the binary file that I want to test. Because it's just a binary file, what's really great about that is, again, it doesn't have to be a Xamarin application. We can test a native Java application as well if we wanted to.
Can we even test like somebody else's application? Like could I get an APK that I download from somewhere and then?
You would need the key store, but okay. You could.
But as long as I had the key store, I'd be able to test any application.
Correct.
Basically is what you're saying.
Yes.
No matter what it was built in.
So this could integrate in any QA department in an enterprise.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
They could start writing tests using UITest. So let's go ahead and select that APK. Now I already have the APK built. So I'm just going to select this one, and this is my Xamarin XAMU app.
This is what we just saw?
This is the same exact application,
okay.
Yep. So I'll select that, and I'll click Open. And if we look down at the status bar in Visual Studio, it's now connecting to the application. So that means it's taking the binary, and it's going to deploy it to my running emulator, which I already have up, or it could be deploying to my device, whichever one I have connected.
So it could be a local device you have plugged into this computer.
Exactly, yep.
Correct.
And again, with a local device, you can pick it up, you can interact with it just like a user would.
Yeah.
And it's going to record all those. So what's really cool, what's really interesting here is if we look here, the test recorder just put this new test in here for me. And it's just some blank code. And what I want to do now...
And it launched your app.
And it launched my app.
Yeah.
So I could interact with this. And we see up at the top of this application, I have an add button. I haven't tested that yet, so I'm not quite sure that that works. So let's go ahead and test it. So here I've got a Windows PC, which means I have a touch screen, mm-hmm. which means I can still really naturally kind of interact with this, and I could just touch the add button if I wanted to. This brings up the add screen, and look what it did. It added app.tap, an element marked add. So it is writing the code for me. I didn't have to know those APIs.
And so it's looking for an element with the text of add.
Correct.
And when it finds it in the visual tree for the app, it's actually initiating an actual tap.
Exactly.
Wow.
So this is using all the accessibility features built into the operating systems from Apple and Google, and it's using those to do the testing. So here we have a few different fields. We have name, icon, title. Let's put somebody in and add them to our team.
Okay.
So how about we pick Scott Guthrie.
He'd be a fantastic instructor.
He'd be a fantastic instructor, one of the most engaging people I've ever seen. And then we need an icon. So we'll say scottgoo.jpg. Scott's title, I believe, is Executive Vice President.
I thought he was owner of red shirts or...
He is, so...
would that be a comma? And
If I could spell the word connoisseur, I'd use connoisseur. How about owner of many red polos?
There you go.
So this is our description of Scott
Director Guthrie. Of Polo Development.
And then I can click Save. So all this code's been written for me so far, and I could stop right there, or UI tests sometimes have multiple steps, but we can see at the top there, there's Scott Guthrie with his... picture in his red polo.
Now, when you write these UI tests, Rob, do you follow the same kinds of guidelines that you would with unit tests, where you only want to test a very specific small element, or do you feel like these are more broad?
I would feel these are more broad than a unit test because they're a little slower. Actually, they're a lot slower than unit tests. Mm. So, in order to maximize your testing time, sometimes I'll test many different things, a whole scenario of what a user might do. Mm-hmm. So in this case, we added Scott Guthrie to the list, but that's not where I want to stop. I actually want to click on that and make sure that I can bring up his details as well, just to make sure that that whole scenario of how a user might expect this to work is going to work.
Now, how are you validating it? Because I don't see any asserts or anything like that that you would typically have to sort of say that this failed or succeeded. How would I know that this is correct?
Exactly. So what I'd do is I'd come back down to our test, and I'd click stop. So I'm done with this test now.
Okay.
And also in here, I could add screenshots for important areas if I wanted to take a look at what this looked like. But in this case, I've added all this. And like you said, there's no validation yet. Really, what do I want to validate? Well, in that case, I wanted to validate that tapping on the details will show Scott Guthrie.
Right.
And I want to make sure that he exists in the list and
that his title that and those things that we set are correct.
And what's great is because we're using NUnit, we can combine NUnit with the UI test framework and validate all of that.
Oh, okay. So I would use whatever the testing framework's assertion capabilities are in order to do those validations.
Exactly. Yeah, okay. Or some of the assertion helper NuGet packages that are out there, however you normally write your unit tests. So in this case, I want to do two things. First, after I tap save, I want to make sure that Scott is in the list.
Okay.
All right, so I can say var Scott exists, which is a very kind of existential question.
Does Scott exist?
Does he exist? And then we can use the app class again. And with the app class, we can do a few things. So we can say app.query. This is going to let us look at the visual tree of what's on the screen at that time.
Okay.
And I want to make sure that something on the screen says Scott Guthrie. So I can say app.query Scott Guthrie. And because this query is just returning... I'm not done yet.
Oh, okay. All right.
Because this query just returns an enumerable or an array, I can use link.
So that's really cool.
What I'm doing here is I'm saying anywhere is Scott Guthrie on that screen. So I can bring in using system.link. Now that's going to give me just a Boolean.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I can do an assert. So assert is true, Scott exists.
Very cool.
So that's one assert. Now, generally, when I write unit tests, I only do one assert per test because I want them to be a unit, the smallest possible unit. But here in a UI test, I'll gladly use more than one assert because I'm testing multiple things. All right, so we click the save.
And if that fails, it throws an exception, as I recall, which means the test stops. So the test is considered a failure at that point. It doesn't proceed into any...
Right, and it's going to show up in your test report, and it's going to show up in your continuous integration report, whatever else, and it's going to show you that that failed.
Again, because we're running you're in a test runner, so it's going to react the same way it would.
And if we're using Test Cloud, what's really great, and we take screenshots during this, is if a test fails, we'll get a screenshot where it says, oh, Scott's not in that list, and you can see that he's not in that list.
Maybe it's misspelled or... Yeah.
Right. Or maybe
something went wrong.
Maybe we put him down at the bottom of the list, and he's not on the screen, and we didn't scroll. So we'd have to go look for that.
Got it. So there seems like there's a lot of little pieces to this, because it could be the device's screen is smaller that we're testing on, and you need to...
Right.
Got it. Wow.
But there's also legitimate errors that happen on different devices.
Like buttons maybe scrolled off that you expect to be on screen or something like that.
Right.
That makes sense, yeah.
All right, so then we're going to tap on the cell in the list view, and we're going to come back to his details. So now we can, after we tap, we can also, let's say var title is correct. And we'll do that same basic query. And we'll look for executive vice president. Look for anything on there just to make sure. And I can also, if I wanted to be more detailed about this, I could look for that exact label on the screen by its ID that I set and make sure that that text is correct.
Okay.
In this case, I just care that somewhere on there is executive vice president.
But I can get more details. But that implies that you have some knowledge about the construction of the visual app, right?
Correct.
And would that be true? Would that be typical, you think?
At this point, I don't really have an idea. If I'm a QA developer, I don't know how the developers have constructed the app. I don't know what IDs they used.
Right.
But I can find that, and we'll take a look at that in just a bit.
Okay.
All right, and then let's do one more assert. All right, so there's our title is correct. And again, to get the test window to pick this up, well, first let's rename this. So we say should add team member. And now I'll do a build of our UI test project. The testing result window is going to bring that up. We'll give that just a second to build. But we're going to see in just a second how we can do this for iOS as well. And there are different design patterns for when you're writing your test to be able to make these tests work on both iOS and Android that we can do. And we have great documentation on the Xamarin site of how to do that. We have multiple testing classes in Xamarin University that we can take as well and get some more experience of this.
Yeah, great.
So again, this is going to take just a bit. But now that this code exists in the IDE, you can see that I could also do things like parameterize this. So if I didn't want just Scott Guthrie and I wanted to maybe bring in a list of people, I could test multiple things, or I could use other frameworks that will randomize the data as well. And we can start doing things like that.
Yeah, you could start refactoring this to have methods to add team members, check for team members, that kind of thing.
Exactly.
And then write your test using those methods.
All right, so there's our test, and we can start running this again. And again, it's going to take that same APK. It's going to...
So I noticed that it stopped your app. So it doesn't continue where it left off.
Nope.
It actually launches it each time.
Exactly. It starts fresh. So here, not touching the keyboard, and it's entering Scott Guthrie, Scott Gu, executive vice president.
Need one of those hoops.
No magic going on here.
Yeah.
Well, the magic is all in the UI test framework.
Very cool.
There he is.
Look at that.
And we can see we got the nice green check mark.
Which we love.
Makes me warm and happy.
Yes.
Our application's working exactly how I would expect. All right, so that's how we can run here on Visual Studio. Now, let me switch over to the Mac here. We'll switch spaces. And we're going to take a look at how we can do this on the Mac. So I have that same project loaded here. And again, I have my Android, my iOS, and my UI test project. So in the test project, it looks very similar. We have the exact same code. So again, you can run these on either platform. And I could run these on Android or iOS here on the Mac. And like I said, Test Recorder is completely free for the Mac. So let's run another test. So down here, you can see here's our test recorder. It's this nice red icon. We're going to launch that and make this a little bit smaller. And here, like I said, it's a separate application. We can select our device. It's going to pick up all the simulators I have installed, all the emulators I have installed for Android, or any physical device that's plugged in.
Got it.
Again, we get our choice. And we can choose either one. I'm going to choose iOS here because we just did Android, or we just did Android.
And the mechanics are the same. It's just the fact that we're running on a Mac with an actual app versus something that's integrated into the IDE. Got it.
Exactly. So let's look at, let's say, the iPhone 7. Seems like a good device. And I'm going to select an app. So here I can just open, and you can see we have a nice menu. It's going to show me the previous applications that I've already run. But I can go browse for this. So I have this app file already on my desktop. So I preloaded that. And I will select that app.
And that was just built with the IDE.
It was just built with Visual Studio for Mac and published. And again, at that point, you could also test an app written in Objective-C or Swift also. So just like we had before, we get a little bit of status down here. We're starting the app. And it's doing the same thing. It's going to start the simulator for me. And it's going to take that binary file, it's going to deploy it to the simulator, and then it's going to start it, and it's going to wait for me to start interacting with it. The Visual Studio test recorder will automatically start recording when you select that built-in IDE extension. Here on the Mac, it's going to wait for me to press the record button.
Okay.
So we'll just wait for this to load up.
Simulator sometimes takes a little bit of time. It's okay.
Only because it's the first time I loaded it. If I had picked the simulator I already had running, it wouldn't have to do this load.
Okay.
And it makes it a lot faster. So in this case, I picked the iPhone 7, iOS 10.1. I already had an iPhone 7 Plus running. So I just picked a different framework to show the entire end-to-end of what it's doing. That even if you don't have the simulator running, it's going to launch it for you.
Right.
So again, as a QA department, it makes it one less step you don't have to do.
Right.
Makes it a lot easier to do.
Right, particularly for maybe a QA department that's not as technical or perhaps doesn't know all the ins and outs of the simulators and
or just getting into mobile development as well.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So the simulator took a little longer than Test Recorder expected, so it timed out. I'll just let that start here, and then we'll run it again.
Okay.
So, there we go. And there's our app. So I'll just go ahead and do that one more time and come back here. So now it's actually starting the app, deploying it. And it actually is installing two different apps, which is why we saw it flash right there. And now this brings up my Xamarin University app. And there you see the exact same app, which again is the power of Xamarin Forms. I only had to write that once,
right,
but it's running on both devices. And now we can write another test. So the first thing I want to do is start recording. And this is something I typically do is I forget to press the record button. I go through a whole set of steps.
And then realize, oh, darn it.
And then there's
didn't record it.
So here in the top right, we have a record button. So let's go ahead and record that. And we'll come back to our simulator. And there's another bit of functionality in here, which is to delete a team member. So we should pick someone. How about Adrian? We'll pick Adrian.
Yeah, you know, he's lackluster at best.
Yeah, it's a little shady. And as we do that, you can see Test Recorder is starting to record what we're doing. And here we have a tap event. So I tapped on that cell. It's going to be the UI table view label named Adrian Stevens. And you can change that if you want. You can turn off or turn on screenshots as well, which is going to be very nice. So screenshots are disabled locally by default, but they're enabled locally on Test Cloud.
So you always get a screenshot for each step.
On Test Cloud?
Yeah.
If you want to enable that on your local device, it's very simple configuration. It's just we don't want to fill up a hard drive with screenshots that you don't want.
Got it.
So here's Adrian. Now we can delete him.
Delete Adrian.
Goodbye, Adrian. And you notice he's out of the list.
Yes.
Okay.
So it did what we expect, at least in terms of the UI, but now we want to capture this test so we can reproduce it each time.
Correct. So now I can just hit stop. Now, I'm not quite sure that everything worked exactly as it should.
Mm-hmm.
So what I can do is I can just hit run here. And that's going to rerun that same test. And I just click that. So it's going to redeploy the app,
okay,
get a nice fresh install.
Right, which means our data is reset,
right,
which is important.
Yes, definitely.
Now, what about things like databases and things like that? What if this were an actual database?
So there's Adrian,
and there it goes.
And he's gone. Yeah. And now we get all these nice green check marks. So if there's an actual database that we need set up with some preset data,
mm-hmm,
for example, there are ways to do that. You could deploy a database with the application,
okay,
and just do a copy. There's also ways to enable backdoors into your app, specifically for testing purposes.
Ah, okay.
And there you can just run a method that will reset the data however
right.
You,
so
however
I could I could code that as part of the test to say,
exactly,
go ahead and make my database pristine or test database or something like that.
Correct.
Yeah.
And then you just make sure you strip that out when you release it to the store.
Right. Kind of like, you know, at the TVs and such, you can put them into a demo mode, sort of.
Yeah. Exactly.
Got it.
All right, so we have this test, and it looks great. It actually ran. It gave us the nice green check marks. And now I can just export that. So here, I can copy the output, and this is going to give me just a single test method.
Okay.
Using NUnit, I could export an entire UI test project if I'd like.
Oh, wow.
Or export to an existing project. So I'll just copy this output. And I'm going to come back to Visual Studio for Mac. We'll paste it in. So there is our code. Notice I had screenshots turned on,
mm-hmm,
here. So we get these screenshots. You know, we tapped on the view with a specific class. And I could actually change that so I could say something a little more, or a little less verbose. Tapped on Adrian.
Yep.
We could say we
tapped on delete or
deleted
Adrian. Yeah.
Adrian, et cetera. And if you remember, when we clicked the delete, it automatically navigated back to the list.
So right.
So we can do the same basic bit of code here to do the assertion. Is we can make sure that Adrian no longer exists, which I feel bad saying.
Adrian is gone.
So we're looking for Adrian Stevens. And in this case, I want that to be false.
Right.
He doesn't exist. So we'll say is false. Adrian exists.
That makes sense.
And now we can, again, rebuild this. We'll come to the unit test pad in Visual Studio for Mac. And here, what's really nice, what I really like about this, and this is just called new test, I didn't update that.
Okay.
But what I love is we can segment our tests. So you see we have an Android category and we have an iOS category.
Uh-huh.
And we have a new test in each one of those. So I could run all of my iOS tests, I could run all of my Android tests separately if I'm focusing on just a particular platform that
That's the in-unit capability to do that test category?
Exactly. So that's coming from this test fixture platform
right here.
All right, so let's go ahead and run that test. So now we're running this from Visual Studio. So it's now a repeatable bit of code. It's going to be checked into our source control, committed, pushed. Everybody's going to have that.
QA team can run this.
QA team's going to have it.
And in theory, they could run it even without Visual Studio because they could run it just with the console test runner, or we could put it as part of our build server, whatever.
Yeah. Exactly, yep. Yep. So this time I picked the 7 Plus. So let me get that a little bit smaller. So there's Adrian. We click on it. We're going to click delete. And he no longer exists. And we get a nice passing test again.
Nice. Yeah, that's really powerful.
So one of the things, though, is that UI test, like I said, for Windows is completely free. But Test Recorder is not. Test Recorder requires Visual Studio Enterprise on Windows.
Okay.
So you are completely free to use Test Recorder on the Mac. And that's completely free as well. But we have another option. Is UI test framework comes with a REPL.
Interesting.
And REPL is a read, eval, print loop. And this is a great way to do kind of exploratory testing. So what I can do is I could create a new test. And let's do that add test again. But we're going to do it as if I didn't know what I was doing.
Which is actually how I program most of the time.
So exactly.
I'm feeling very comfortable now.
All right, so I'll create a test. And I don't know where to begin. I know I have this app, and I know it has some stuff in it, but I don't know what to do yet. So I'm going to choose app.REPL. That's all we need to do.
Okay.
So I'll go ahead and build this.
So this is built into UI test. This has nothing to do with Test Recorder. This is
nothing
UI
to do with
test
recorder. Okay. This is built into UI test, completely free. It's another great way to do exploratory testing. And even if you have Test Recorder, you're probably going to be using the REPL a little bit to explore. All right, so I have this should add team member. I'm going to run this. And go back to that. When I run, and this runs on Windows and Mac.
Okay.
Both of them just fine. On Windows, it'll just launch your command prompt. On Mac, it's going to launch a terminal. And the terminal is going to allow us to actually kind of look around and explore. So there we go. It launches, and now it's going to launch my terminal for me. Now, that's a little bit big, so let's make it smaller so we can see both of them at the same time. Now, the first thing I'm going to do when I'm trying to explore an application is I want to know what's on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And I want just a very concise kind of tree hierarchy. So I can type tree. And here, this is going to show me everything that's on the screen. Notice these are native iOS elements. So with things like UI image view, and we have one for Adam, and UI table views, and cell table view cells,
right,
et cetera.
Because this is an iOS app. Even though you built it with forms, it still generates native iOS controls.
Exactly. Now down at the bottom, you see we have a UI navigation button with label and a UI button label. They both have add.
Okay.
So I'm trying to add somebody. So this tells me that that's probably what I want.
Yeah.
Now that's actually enough information for me. But if I wanted more, I can type add. And notice what's really cool here is both in terminal and command prompt, I get IntelliSense right in the terminal.
Wow, that's really cool.
So I hit dot, and these are all the methods that are hanging off the app class that I can work with.
So these are the same methods that you were using in your tests.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's the exact same API. So in this case, I want to query. And I want to look at that add button. I want a little bit more detail than what the tree command showed me.
Okay.
So I'll just choose add. And here, this is going to give me those two results. Remember, there are two different things that had add in it.
Right. So it's an array coming back with two elements.
Right.
Okay.
Now, it's an array, and we have a description. We have the rectangle, so it's going to give us the width, the height, the x and y position on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, it has a label. It's got a navigation button. It's the class. And then we have a UI button label as well. And because it's an array, and because we're here in the terminal, we could even do things like app.query, add, where, and we can start using link.
So we can use link.
Right here in the terminal because it's just an array coming back. So that makes it really powerful, and we can start doing some filtering and some processing on that.
So this is a full C-sharp REPL is what you're telling me.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so now I know that I want to tap on one of those add buttons. So I'll just say app.tap. And we have two different choices. Notice the IntelliSense is filtering down as we are typing. So I could either tap existing coordinates if I wanted to maybe tap on something that doesn't have an ID assigned to
it. Maybe you just want to always tap in the same spot on the screen or something like that. Yeah.
So in this case, I just want to tap add. So let's click that. And notice what happened in the simulator. It actually invoked that method. And now I'm on a different screen. So now I'm on a different screen. I need to know what's there. So I'll go back to tree. And here in tree, again, we see everything that's available. So we have a different set of UI hierarchy than we had on the previous screen. All right, so we have things like a label for add a team member and
the name and the icon.
Notice on this one, I actually set some IDs on these. Mm. So instead of just looking for the text add, in this case, I can actually do app.enterText, which means we're going to start typing.
Okay.
And I'm going to have to pass in a lambda here. So I'm going to look for something with an ID of name.
Okay.
And that's because in my Xamarin Forms app, I actually gave it an ID specifically for testing. And that shows up here in the REPL.
So this is independent of the text that potentially is in the element, but it's actually something that's part of the XAML or the structure of the app.
Right.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times you want to localize your application, which means the language is going to be different,
sure,
but the ID will be the same.
That makes sense. So I don't really want to rely on text because if I localize it, that's going to break all my tests.
Or besides even localization, if you want to change name to first name,
sure,
or surname or last name,
that makes sense.
You'd have to change all your tests. So keeping the ID is a good way to do this. So I'm going to look for that one that has an ID. And I'm going to, let's say, enter Miguel Diacaza. And notice here on the simulator.
I see it's typing, yeah. That's kind of freakish to watch, actually, is it? You know, you watch the keys kind of.
Actually, it went a little quick, so I'd have to slow that down. So it actually mistyped that, but I can take that same code and I'm going to put it into Visual Studio for Mac and I can correct any issues that come up.
Okay.
All right, so we have name. I've got icon and title, so I could say app.enterText, and let's do the icon. Oh, so I did enter. I get a nice exception. It says there is no method called enter because it's called enterText.
Sure.
So I typed a little quick.
Yeah, now it's typed now that in. There's I that. Saw it. Yep.
And we'll do enter text, and we'll do one more, which was the title. And I believe Miguel's title is Distinguished Engineer. Now, somewhere on here, there's a save button, but I can't see it right now. It's below the keyboard, so I can say dismiss keyboard.
Ah, okay.
Because I want to make sure that I can actually see that in some method. Now there's my save button.
Okay.
And I don't know if I gave that an ID or not, so let's also look for the query
for
save to see what it is. So I have a label called save. Do I have an ID? I do. I added an ID called save, so I could use the
ID. You
were
prepared.
I was. So I want to tap that, and again, we're going to look for ID or save. And now we're back on list, and you can kind of see there's
Miguel. Great.
Missed Diacaza because it misspelled that. But I want this to be a repeatable app, a repeatable test. So it's not quite as fast as Test Recorder, but it's a lot faster than
like doing it by hand.
Looking up all the APIs.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, but now you typed all this in here. Now, how do I get it out of the REPL?
Very easy. Just type copy.
Awesome.
Copy right here.
That copied it to the clipboard?
Copy it to the clipboard. I replace this app.REPL, paste, and there's everything that I actually typed in.
Sweet.
So we have the queries we don't need anymore because we don't need to do a query.
Right.
We already know
what we have. So you can delete the stuff that's extraneous that you don't want.
If I wanted to change this to anything else, I could. I could run this now, and now this should add team member. Let me get that back. So we have the test, we have the app. Oh, I was still building, I believe. So let's go back and try that again. We can run that test. And it's going to do that same bit of
misting.
So it's going to, again, deploy our app and do that kind of testing.
Okay. So, yeah, I pushed a new version of the app.
Mm-hmm.
No Miguel.
Now it actually typed it correctly. So last time it was just a little bit fast. Yeah. No, actually it recorded it correctly.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It just, the simulator, it went a little fast for the
Interesting.
Simulator.
Interesting. Okay. And there it is.
And Sweet. We have a passing test. And we could do the same asserts and everything we've already done a few times.
Right. And it seems like because the test recorder is free on the Mac, you could actually just record your Android and iOS tests here, build the solution, and then bring it over to Windows and run
Absolutely.
It here if you wanted to. Yeah.
It's the exact same code.
Yeah.
There's NUnit runners.
So it's cross-platform on both sides.
Exactly.
Okay.
Solutions are cross-platform. CS projects, cross-platform. Everything's cross-platform. So if you have team members that work on both platforms, everything will work.
That's awesome. Wow. That's great.
All right.
That's
so great, let's switch Rob. Back to Windows. All right, so how can we get started with UI tests? I hope everybody understands how important testing is now, especially for mobile.
Mm-hmm.
And the way you get started is install Xamarin. You can either install it through Visual Studio, or you can go to xamarin.com/download. For Test Recorder, it's a separate download. Go either to the extension gallery in Visual Studio, or go to xamarin.com/test-cloud/recorder. And of course, come to Xamarin University. We have lots of classes on testing. We're going to talk about unit testing. We're going to talk about UI testing. We're going to talk about Test Cloud as well.
And I think there's also classes or information on building cross-platform tests. So you
Yes.
kind of alluded to that when you were talking about this.
Yes.
You know, you saw in that REPL, I think, that those, it's possible that my visual structure would be different from iOS to Android, and I might have to kind of change my tests as a result. But there are techniques and strategies and architectures you can use to be able to create cross-platform tests that would correctly test those different
Yes.
pieces. Yeah.
Yes. And then we have one more bit. So, Mark, let's go to Edge there, the browser.
Okay.
So I have that open down to the bottom. Click on that. Oh, it should already be open. Otherwise, just go to testcloud.xamarin.com. And I actually took these tests and I uploaded them. And I actually ran them. So Test Cloud does take a little while to run because you're running on multiple devices at mm-hmm. once.
Okay, here it is.
All right, scroll down a little. And there is our XAMU app at the bottom, right there.
Yep. So click on it.
Click on that. And here's the test run that I ran the other day. So we can see that it passed on 7 different devices. I chose 7 pretty random iOS devices, but I picked iPhones, iPads, iPad minis. And if on the left side you click on Delete Team Member, that's going to show us the actual steps. And notice on the left side, it has the text, tapped on Adrian Stevens cell, tapped mm-hmm. on Delete button. And we can get screenshots of what those look like. So notice the difference on iPhone, where maybe that description label is kind of going right to the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
But on the iPad,
versus this one over here, where it's
there's plenty
way
of
up
space.
At the top. Yeah.
Right. There's plenty of space. So what that might tell me is maybe I need to add a scroll view onto that page because I didn't add any scrolling. You know, it looked fine on my iPhone 7 Plus, but I didn't think about the smaller phones.
Right.
And if you don't add a scroll view, you're not going to be able to see anything below that. And if you click on deleted over there, the next step, and here is the other result. This is our list, and you can see that Adrian's not there. And you can scroll in, zoom in there, and you can see a lot better as well. And this is going to tell you all the memory statistics on the devices. It's going to tell you the CPU and all that kind of information. If you actually get an exception, you'll have the full stack log or stack exception and everything there available to you.
So, yeah, that's great.
So Test Cloud is great. And right in the Test Recorder extension or the Test Recorder application, we can simply take our test, right click, and there's a menu option, run in Test Cloud. That's as easy as it is.
Wow,
and
that's
you get
awesome.
Access to all that.
That's fantastic. It sounds like this is super easy to do. And I mean, what a great benefit to a team to be able to make sure that our applications are running the way we expect them to, especially
exactly.
as we iterate and make changes.
It's not something that we can just forget about like we might have done in the past.
Yeah,
we
that's
need
awesome.
To be testing. All right, so thank you, everyone. Thank you for attending our session on testing with Xamarin and Xamarin Test Recorder. Remember, if you have any questions, our expert staff is available to answer any questions online. Thank you. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Rob.